Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Gopi Janavala Bhagirivardhari. Gopi Janavala Bhagirivardhari. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Vrajajana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Vanachari. Munatira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jaya Radha Shama Sundara Radha Shama Sundara Shri Radhe. Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Goranitai Jaya Goranitai Jaya Goranitai Jaya Goranitai. Prabhupada 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Jai Gaura Nityananda Haribo. Thank you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. O my Lord, the all-pervading personality of Godhead, I offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Please, let's recite together. Narayanam namaskritya naram chaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayamudiraye shrimvantam swakata krishna punya shravana kirtana hirdyantasto hyabhadrani vidunoti suritsatam nashta praeshu abhadreshu nicham bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttamashloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is the very means of conquest, one should offer respectful obeisances unto the personality of Godhead Narayan, unto Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mata Sarasvati, the goddess of learning, and unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author. Sri Krishna, the personality of Godhead, who is the Param Atma, supersoul, in everyone's heart, and the benefactor of the truthful devotee, cleanses desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee, who has developed the urge to hear his messages, which are in themselves virtuous when properly heard and chanted. And by regular attendance and classes on the Bhagavatam, and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and love is service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. So dear devotees, today we're going to be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 17, verses 6 to 14. So I'll be reading just the English translations in the interest of time until the last verse, where we'll do the Sanskrit together. Okay, so number 6. The luminaries in the heavens were screened by masses of clouds in which lightning sometimes flashed as though laughing. Darkness reigned everywhere and nothing could be seen. The ocean with its high waves wailed aloud as if stricken with sorrow, and there was a commotion among the creatures inhabiting the ocean. The rivers and lakes were also agitated, and the lotuses withered. Misty halos appeared around the sun and moon during solar and lunar eclipses again and again. Claps of thunder were heard even without clouds, and sounds like those of rattling chariots emerged from the mountain caves. In the interior of the villages, she-jackals yelled portentously, vomiting strong fire from their mouths, and jackals and owls also joined them with their cries. 10. Raising their necks, dogs cried here and there, now in the manner of singing and now of wailing. 11. O Vidura, the asses ran hither and thither in herds, striking the earth with their hard hooves and wildly braying. And there's a small purport here. Asses also feel very respectable as a race, and when they run in flocks hither and thither in so-called jollity, it is understood to be a bad sign for human society. 12. Frightened by the braying of the asses, birds flew shrieking from their nests, while cattle in the cowsheds as well as in the woods passed dung and urine. And 13. Cows, terrified, yielded blood in place of milk. Clouds rained pus, and the images of the gods in the temples shed tears, and trees fell down without a blast of wind. And now for our Sanskrit of 3:17:14. Grahan punya tamananye bhaganamscha pidipataha atisherur vakra gatya yuyudushcha parasparam graham punya tamananje bhaganamscha pidipataha aticherur vakra gatya yuyudushcha parasparam. Please chant. Rahan punya taman kanye bhaganamscha piti paha ati cherur vakra gatya yuyudushcha parasparam grahan punya tamananye bhaganamscha piti pata Ati Cheru Prakra Gatya Yuyudusha Parasparam Graham Punyatamananye Vaganamscha Piti Pitaha Ati Cherud Vakra Gatya Yuyudusha Parasparam. Gentlemen? Okay. The Vaishnavi is represented today, that's okay. Okay, so synonyms. Grahan, planets, punyataman, most auspicious, anye, others, the ominous planets, bhaganan, luminaries, cha, and api, also, dipitaha, illuminating. Ati cheru. Overlapped. Vakra gatya. Taking retrograde courses. Yuyudu. Came into conflict. Cha. And. Paraparam. With one another. Translation by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ominous planets such as Mars and Saturn shone brighter and surpassed the auspicious ones such as Mercury, Jupiter, and Venus, as well as a number of lunar mansions. Taking seemingly retrograde courses, the planets came in conflict with one another. Purport. The entire universe is moving under the three modes of material nature. Those living entities who are in goodness are called the pious species, pious lands, pious trees, etc. It is similar with the planets also. Many planets are considered pious, and others are considered impious. Saturn and Mars are considered impious. When the pious planets shine very brightly, it's an auspicious sign. But when the inauspicious planets shine very brightly, this is not a very good sign. Om Agyanatim Randasya Gananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Budaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Tinamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Prasharine Nirvishesha Shunyavari Pashyata Disatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Dear devotees, I humbly ask for your blessings that I may speak today in class in a way that glorifies God and inspires myself and others to serve Guru, Radha, and Krishna. So the main points that I want to discuss today are pious activities and how to act when afraid. And why do I want to speak on that? Well, in today's verses, we heard about how different animals, right, the jackals, the dogs, the birds, and the cattle, yelled in fear due to the inauspicious signs, and how even in verse 12, it said, cows, terrified, yielded blood in place of milk, clouds rained pus, and the images of the gods in the temples shed tears, and trees fell down without a blast of wind. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada shared, those living entities who are in goodness are called the pious species, pious lands, pious trees, etc. So with that in mind, let's first talk about pious activities that Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport. So in Bhagavad Gita 14:16, it says, the result of pious action is pure and is said to be in the mode of goodness. But action done in the mode of passion results in misery, and action performed in the mode of ignorance results in foolishness. So we have that further explanation how actions and the results are different depending on the modes or the gunas that we act upon. So all of the modes, the best one to be in is the mode of goodness. However, pious activities are still not the very best, because as explained in Bhagavad Gita 9:21, says, when they have just thus enjoyed vast heavenly sense pleasure, and the results of their pious activities are exhausted, they return to this mortal planet again. Thus, those who seek sense enjoyment by adhering to the principles of the three Vedas achieve only repeated birth and death. So even though pious activities may get you positive results, you can't ride on that forever, right? So eventually you run out and then you continue to suffer in repeated birth and death. So this is why Srila Prabhupada advises us again and again in his purports. Specifically, I want to reference in Srimad Bhagavatam 5:26-37, he says, one should neither be pious nor impious. One should be a devotee and surrender to the lotus feet of Krishna. One must always simply think of Krishna by chanting, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And one should become Krishna's devotee, worship him, and offer obeisances to him. Thus, one should engage all the activities of his life in the service of Lord Krishna. So this is our ideal goal, right? Is to be devotees, to surrender to Krishna. However, we have to start somewhere. Like, we're not all Prahlad Maharaj, right? So a good place to start is by being pious in the mode of goodness. And Srila Prabhupada again mentions this in the purport of Srimad Bhagavatam 7:10:4, where he says, Shrukati, or pious, are those that are described because in their distress or in their need of money, they have approached the Supreme Lord. And unless one is pious, one cannot approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So though being pious in that mode of goodness isn't ideal, it is a starting point for us, right? And he gives us a beautiful quote. He had a morning walk in Mauritius, I think that's how it's pronounced, where he said, by accumulation of pious activities, one may be elevated to the transcendental position. And after doing for many, many years simply pious activities, one may be elevated to the transcendental platform. So pious activities cannot be compared with transcendental activities, but it may help in the long run. So Srila Prabhupada is always so merciful in explaining that years and years of pious activities will help us in the long run. And they're definitely a lot more helpful to us than being in the mode of ignorance or passion, because, you know, as he says in a purport of Bhagavad Gita 7:28, for those who are sinful, atheistic, foolish, and deceitful, it is very difficult to transcend the duality of desire and hate. Only those who have passed their lives in practicing the regulative principles of religion, who have acted piously, and who have conquered sinful reactions can accept devotional service and gradually rise to the pure knowledge of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, gradually, they can meditate in trance on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is the process of being situated on the spiritual platform. And then this elevation is possible in Krishna consciousness, in the association of pure devotees, for in the association of great devotees, one can be delivered from delusion. So we may ask ourselves, because I know I'm always asking Krishna for help, is it wrong to do that? Is it wrong for me to pray to Krishna for his help and guidance? Is that tangling us more in material nature? And again, Srila Prabhupada, in his infinite wisdom, gives that practical and merciful advice when a monk back in 1975 in Atlanta asked that very same question. The monk asked Srila Prabhupada, is it wrong to petition God? And Prabhupada said, no, it is not wrong, but it is not pure devotion. Some way or other, if you go to God, that is very good. With motive or without motive, you have come to God, and that is piety. That is better than to become impious. Impious men, they do not go to God. So I hope you can forgive me all the quotes from Srila Prabhupada, but when researching this, I found so many gems that it felt like, why try to reinvent the wheel since Prabhupada explained it so perfectly? And this whole letting us know that being pious in the mode of goodness is a much better place to start than ignorance and passion, that really helps us. That's very practical. And having that piety towards Krishna with a motive or not is still piety, and that's still very good. So it's better than turning away from Krishna, because that's in the mode of passion and ignorance, and that's being impious, right? That's being stuck in that which is sinful, atheistic, foolish, deceitful. So, however, we can keep asking ourselves, how can we transcend this material nature and how to do that? And Krishna himself tells us in Bhagavad Gita 14:26, he says, one who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcend the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. So we have that answer from Krishna, but how do we break it down for ourselves so that we can live this in our everyday, kind of day-to-day lives? And that's why I wanted to do the second point, which is how to act when afraid. But before I dive into that, I wanted to share a quote from the Bible, because it was a quote that felt so filled with bhakti that it really was like Krishna magic when someone just randomly shared it with me as I was preparing for this class. And this is from 1 John 4:18, where it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment, and the one who fears is not made perfect in love, right? And where can we find that perfect love? In Krishna, right? However, I ask myself again, how do I do that? I'm stuck in like trying to find practical ways to do that. And the first way that I found for myself was gratitude. So actually, Pran Govinda Prabhu talked about that this morning, about being grateful to Srila Prabhupada. And I thought of it also as having gratitude to Krishna for the blessing of having a human life in this life, right? So why mention that? Well, we saw in the verses that we read today how those poor souls and animal bodies were so afraid, right? They were afraid of the inauspicious signs, and in those bodies, they're just in the mode of ignorance, and they cannot understand who is Krishna, nor can they take shelter of him. And Srila Prabhupada explained this in the purport of 14:15 when he says, some people have the impression that when the soul reaches the platform of human life, it never goes down again. But that is incorrect. According to this verse, if one develops the mode of ignorance, after his death, he is degraded to an animal form of life. From there, one has to again elevate himself by an evolutionary process to come again to the human form of life. Therefore, those who are actually serious about human life should take to the mode of goodness, and in good association, transcend the modes and become situated in Krishna consciousness. That is the aim of life. Otherwise, there is no guarantee that the human being will again attain human status. So I start the process of taking shelter of Krishna by being grateful, right? Recognizing what a blessing this is. I have a human form in this lifetime where I can take to the mode of goodness, and with hopefully association of guru and devotees, I have the hope of Krishna consciousness, right? So there's always that hope that, as Srila Prabhupada says in Bhagavad Gita 3:38, that the living entity may revive a little Krishna consciousness, and that fire of spiritual life can be rekindled in the human form of life, right? So that first step, again, is gratitude. Gratitude for this human form. The second step is understanding our fears, right? Because what is courage, right? Courage is that mental strength, that moral strength to persevere, to withstand fear. But how can we face our fears if we don't even know what they are? You know, I'm sure we've all experienced this in our lives where you're kind of frozen, you can't take action, and you don't know why you can't take action. And a lot of times it's because we're fearful and we don't understand why. So in Srimad Bhagavatam 11:237 says that Sri Kavi explained to those present, fear arises when a living entity misidentifies himself as the material body because of absorption in the external illusory energy of the Lord. When the living entity thus turns away from the Supreme Lord, he also forgets his own constitutional position as a servant of the Lord. This bewildering, fearful condition is affected by the potency for illusion called Maya. Therefore, an intelligent person should engage unflinchingly in the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master whom he should accept as his worshipful deity and as his very life and soul. So fear can really absorb us when we're stuck identifying with the material, whether it's material modes of thinking or materially kind of accepting that we are these bodies. So again, it's only due to devotional service, and especially under the guidance of guru, that we can break free from that. And we can put ourselves in our true position as servants of the Lord. So thanks to Krishna and the Bhagavad Gita, we can understand these specifics. And one of the, well, actually two of the biggest fears that we experience in life are the ones that I'm going to speak about today, which is the fear of failure and the fear of death. And again, I acknowledge that there's tons of fears. We can never run out of fears, I'm sure. But if you really think about it, the majority of them really break down to these two. So for example, I'll share something personal. Obviously, in preparing for this class, there were big moments of fear and anxiety for me, as there is every time, no matter how many times I do it. And I realized when I was feeling that fear and stuck that it was coming from a fear of failure, right? So I feared letting my guru down. I feared letting all of you, dear devotees, down and just not doing a good enough job in service of Sri Sri Radhe Shyam. So once I was able to understand that fear, then I was able to address it, right? And I addressed it by reading the verse from Bhagavad Gita 247, where Krishna reminded me, you have a right to perform your prescribed duty, but you are not entitled to the fruits of action. So never consider yourself the cause of the results of your activities, and never be attached to not doing your duty. So at that moment, I understood, okay, I just have to let go of the results of my actions, which is giving this class and wondering, am I going to fail or not? I'm just going to do my best and let Krishna do the rest, right? I understood that I'm doing my duty, so I'm going to do the best I can and then let it go. Oh my, what a weight off my shoulders that was. And also, it was understanding that this was an offering to Guru and to Radha Krishna. So I took a deep breath, and I just let myself be in that space, right? So another fear that I wanted to speak about is the fear of death, which Krishna addresses in Bhagavad Gita 2:20 when he says, for the soul there is neither birth nor death at any time. He has not come into being, does not come into being, and will not come into being. He is unborn, eternal, ever-existing, and primeval. He is not slain when the body is slain. So in understanding this fear and our true nature as spirit souls, we can let this go, or obviously let it go as much as possible, or we could practice. Obviously, this is a high ideal, so we're kind of going towards that. Again, we're not trying to put ourselves in danger to practice this. However, we're trying to do our best and let Krishna do the rest. And as you could tell, that was a mantra that I kept repeating to myself, so I will keep sharing it with you. So we can take courage in knowing that we're eternal spiritual beings that are just temporarily in these human bodies. And when our fear just seems overwhelming and it's taking us over and we just can't remember on our own, we can always turn to Guru. We could turn to other devotees. And if need be, we could turn to professionals if it's really that overwhelming. So with that said, this takes us to the goal of our human lives, which is knowing Krishna and taking shelter of him. Because with him, as I said, we experience that perfect love, a love that can drive away all fears. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 18:66, abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reactions. Do not fear. And Srila Prabhupada, I have to share in the purport because he said it so beautifully, one should always think of himself helpless and should consider Krishna the only basis for his progress in life. And as soon as one seriously engages himself in devotional service to the Lord in full Krishna consciousness, at once he becomes freed from all contamination of material nature. And there are different processes of religion and purificatory processes by cultivation of knowledge, meditation, the mystic yoga system, etc. But one who surrenders onto Krishna does not have to execute so many methods. That simple surrender onto Krishna will save him from unnecessarily wasting time. One can thus make all progress at once and be freed from all sinful reactions. So it always seems so simple when Prabhupada explains it, right? However, I know that for me, it helps me to really kind of take it in by hearing some examples. So I have two to share with you today. Both are Vaishnavis, so please forgive me, Prabhus. But it always helps me to kind of think about what are examples of devotees who have taken shelter of Krishna in fearful times. So the first one that I could think of was Draupadi, right? Srila Prabhupada many times told the story of Draupadi and how when her husbands gambled away their wealth and freedom in a rigged game, Draupadi was forcefully dragged into the royal assembly. And there she was insulted, and then they tried to disrobe her. And at first she tried to hold on to her sari, and she looked for her husbands for help or even others to help her. And she was crying, and she was praying for them to help her, save her. And how afraid she must have felt. But finally, when she finally surrendered, realizing that only Krishna could save her, she lifted her hands up and said, "Hey, Govinda, Krishna, if you like, you can save me." And then Krishna did. And he gave her that unlimited sari so that she was never disrobed, and the men gave up their insulting behavior. So again, this is one very high ideal from one Vaishnavi, but I wanted to share an example from a contemporary story of a Vaishnavi that I heard recently who took shelter of the Lord when she was afraid and in a very dangerous situation. Some of you may have read this in ISKCON News when Kamalini Devidasi Prabhu shared her miraculous escape from the floodwaters in North Carolina. So this is just a short synopsis. So she was supposed to give Srimad Bhagavatam class in New Goloka, but it had been raining the whole day before. And when she got near the temple, she thought she saw a puddle. It was pitch black at 4:30 in the morning, and the electricity had gone out, so she just drove into the water when all of a sudden she realized this isn't a puddle. It was deep water. And she realized in that moment that there was nothing she could do but just sit in the car and chant, "Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." And then in that moment, she had the thought, "I should open my car window in case the water starts rising." And then she also had the thought, "I should unbuckle my seatbelt and be prepared," which I personally think was Paramatma guiding her in that moment, right? And then all of a sudden, the water did start rising, and it started surging into her face. And the water was so powerful that it was really difficult for Kamalini Prabhu to get out, that she had to push herself out with her feet to get out the window. And then she was under, and she felt like she was going to drown. And when her head came up, she was carried away by the surging water, and all she could do as she was swimming was call out, "Krishna, save me! Krishna, save me! Krishna, save me!" over and over again. And she desperately tried to reach the embankment. She kept calling out to Krishna, "Krishna, save me, Krishna, save me." So when she finally was able to get to that embankment, she pulled herself out, and all she could shout was, "Thank you, Krishna, thank you, Krishna, thank you, Krishna," over and over again. And when she was interviewed, she said something really beautiful that I want to share with all of you, where she said that in that moment she thought, "Okay, Krishna, you're giving me one more chance to become Krishna consciousness." Wow, right? So remembering Krishna in those fearful circumstances and calling out to Krishna, remembering him and taking shelter of him, that's the start, right? And then through devotional service, we can surrender to Krishna. And many of you have seen the movie of Narasimha Dev, where we have the story of Prahlad Maharaj and how he shared all the different devotional practices, right? So we have the hearing and the chanting. We have the remembering, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering the Lord respectful worship with the 16 types of paraphernalia, offering prayers, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and then surrendering onto him. And then Prahlad Maharaj says in Srimad Bhagavatam, "These 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service, and one who has dedicated their life to the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge." And this purport, which, by the way, for those who like to take notes like me, was Srimad Bhagavatam 7:5, 23-24, has a really long purport by Srila Prabhupada, which, of course, you know, I can't quote the whole thing, but the tiny part that I really wanted to share was where he says, "These 9 different processes may not all be required for the execution of devotional service. Because if a devotee performs only one of these 9 without deviation, he can attain the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And sometimes it's found that when one performs one of these processes, the other processes are mixed in. And when a devotee executes any of the 9 processes, this is sufficient, for the other 8 processes are included. So Krishna, as ever, is so kind that he gives us so many different ways to connect with him, to grow our love for him in pure devotional service. Devotional service that allows us to surrender, to take shelter of him, to really embrace, again, our true constitutional positions as servants of the Lord. And Krishna is so loving and kind that he spends a whole chapter of Bhagavad Gita to explain devotional service. And within that chapter, chapter 12, from verses 8 through 12, not only does he spend that whole time, but he then breaks it down for us, kind of offering us gradual ways for us to surrender. First, he says in 8, just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me, and thus you will live in me always without a doubt. But then in 9, he says, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of bhakti yoga, and in this way develop a desire to attain me. In 10, he says, well, if you cannot practice the regulations of bhakti yoga, then just try to work for me, because by working for me, you will come to the perfect stage. In 11, he says, if, however, you're unable to work in this consciousness of me, then try to act, giving up all results of your work and try to be self-situated. And then finally in 12, he says, and if you cannot take to this practice, then engage yourself in the cultivation of knowledge. And better than that knowledge, however, is meditation. And better than meditation is renunciation of the fruits of action. For by such renunciation, one can attain peace of mind. So this is who Krishna is, right? Someone who is so loving and compassionate that he understands that we cannot always attain that high ideal of complete surrender like a pure devotee right away. So he gives us options so that we can work and lead up to that. Oh, how wonderful is Krishna, right? So before I just wanted to share a beautiful prayer. Chaitanya Charandas Prabhu came recently this year, and he shared a new book that he wrote, which are prayers inspired by the Bhagavad Gita. And he wrote a prayer that felt so perfect for this kind of theme that we're in today. And the prayer that he wrote is thus. My dear Lord, many are the worries, fears, and anxieties that I bring upon myself whenever I forget my identity and fixate on things that are extraneous to my identity. My obsession with worldly possessions and positions subjects me to so much emotional drama, which sooner or later ends up inflicting upon me so much emotional trauma. Your declaration that I am the indestructible soul, unaffected by any of the countless things that threaten my body and the things connected with my body, is like a healing elixir. Bless me, O Lord, so that these words of wisdom become the anchor that holds my consciousness steady while my body and the things connected with it are subjected to the storms of life. Grant me the intelligence to begin each day contemplating not just the indestructibility of my soul, but also how my soul has an eternal relationship with you, the whole, who are eternally infallible. And it is only when I shift my focus to my soul's indestructibility and your infallibility that I can live without being afflicted by fear in a world filled with fear-inducing qualities. And this is page 52 to 53. If anybody wants to get the book, I highly recommend it. So to wrap up, I just want to kind of review what I spoke about today, which I hope kind of filtered into you, which is one. Pious activities are preferable to impious activities. And in the mode of goodness, we have help to turn towards Krishna. However, they still lead to material entanglement. So ultimately, the best thing we can do is devotional service to the Lord. And what can we do when we're afraid? We can recognize our blessings. So be in the space of gratitude for being in a human body that allows us to have the knowledge of Krishna. We can understand our fears and how they come from various material attachments, and then we can seek support from our spiritual community whenever possible and professionals as needed. And finally, we want to remember Krishna, never forget him, and take shelter of him, because Krishna is that perfect love that can drive out all fears. And remember that Krishna gives us those 9 processes of pure devotional service and many gradual steps to surrender and take shelter of him. So thank you again, dear devotees, for this opportunity. Vancha kalpa turubhyascha, kripa sindubhya evacha, patitanam pavanevyo, vaishnavevyo namo namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances unto all the Vaishnava devotees of the Lord. They can fulfill the desires of everyone, just like desire trees, and they are full of compassion for the fallen conditioned souls. So dear devotees, I would love to hear your takeaways, your questions, comments or corrections, especially very curious if anybody has any personal examples of taking shelter of the Lord when you were afraid. I would love to hear those stories as well. So thank you so much. Hare Krishna. I saw some hands up. Oh, the mic? Okay, thank you. I saw the note that class has to finish at 8:45, so I left wiggle room to make sure I wasn't late.
Sukhada Prabhu?
Such a nice class. Very organized and very comprehensive. You just really explained everything so well. And I love always remembering and hearing the verse that you're entitled to do your duty, but you're not entitled to the results. Mm-hmm. That is such an important verse, you know, because sometimes we just get so stuck when we're working so hard. As far as a personal example, I remember long ago when I was doing, I guess it was 1975 probably, we were doing traveling Sankirtan, kind of following Srila Prabhupada up the East Coast, you know, and then over a little bit. And so when we came back to, I guess it was Alabama, distributing magazines, you know, at the lights, and shortly after we got there, a police car pulled up and they arrested us. You know, a lot of people have already heard this story, but it's still a good
story.
Please
tell it again.
Okay. So we got arrested, myself and Tamahar and Bhaktin Marsha. So we got locked up in jail, and the person who went to get lunch, he didn't really know where we were. It took a while, so we ended up having to spend the night in jail. So, you know, it was fearful, but at the same time, it's kind of like I felt like, okay, but I'm doing my duty. Mm. I did my duty, and, you know, Krishna, everything's kind of okay. So I think when you realize I've done my best, I'm doing my duty, it takes a lot of fear away. So what happened the next morning is they took us in front of the judge. And he asked each one of us, well, what were you doing before you did this? So, you know, I explained I was a school teacher. Everyone kind of told their story. Mm-hmm. And why are you doing this now? Because, you know, I feel like God consciousness is the most important activity. Mm-hmm. So when we got done, the judge said, I'm so sorry that you were arrested. He said, I'm going to let you go. And if you have any problems in the future, he said, he gave us his card, Wow. You can call me.
Jai.
So we went back to our mobile home, where Montrini and Tamahar, they were, you know, traveling in this mobile home. So she'd made a big feast for us. So we're sitting down taking prasadam, and pretty soon there's a knock on the door, and we open the door. It's the judge and the bailiff. And they came in and had prasadam with us and gave... The judge gave $10 and took a Bhagavad Gita.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's like a total success story. It doesn't always end up that mm-hmm. way. But still, the idea of always knowing... I think the only problem comes in for myself is sometimes you don't know... Like, there's so many duties. So what is the duty you're supposed to be doing right now? You know, mm-hmm. between Krishna... I mean, everything's Krishna, really. Even if you're taking care of your family... They're devotees, but you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That is a difficult part for me sometimes, is trying to figure out, well, what is the best thing for me to be doing right now?
Exactly.
Cleaning up the house, or just forgetting about it and going to the...
Thank you, Sukhada Prabhu. Yeah, I think what I love about your story is just that there's just that... workaround, that Krishna works his magic, and that when all of you were so courageous in not only sharing Krishna consciousness, but being very open about why you were doing it, that it really kind of resonated in the heart of that judge, and then it caused them to be able to kind of have that Krishna's mercy. And it's just, that's beautiful. And I, in terms of your second part of your share, I know that I always ask myself that too, like what to focus on. And I feel like that's why it's so important to pray to Krishna for discernment, right? To pray to Krishna for that wisdom to know what to focus on, which is why the serenity prayer, is anybody familiar with the serenity prayer? Maybe those with Christian backgrounds are more familiar with it. It's really important to me, you know, is that, you know, I always change it to Krishna, like, oh, dear Krishna, please give me, you know, the courage to change the things that I can change. Please give me the wisdom please give me the serenity to let go of the things that I cannot change, and please give me the wisdom to know the difference, right? So I'm always praying that because that's ongoing for me. So thank you so much, Sukhita Prabhu. Sorry, please go ahead.
Okay. Thank you very much. She said your class was very organized, very good. Presented just like a teacher almost.
That's my training, so yeah.
Oh, okay. So summarize, you gave it and summarize, very nice. I have one, total fear. We used to distribute books at the airport, and you know, we used to take a train back home at 5 o'clock, and somehow or other I missed the train from the airport to the train station. And so I had to take the late train at 9 o'clock, and I was coming back. The train was empty, everything was empty. And I got in the train and I saw these three guys came in. You know, I didn't pay attention. I was just sitting there, and I opened the book, and some or other I can't remember if some Lakshmi fell out or my purse opened and they saw it. So after that, I heard them start talking, and I guess it was Super Soul, and they were looking at me. So I went into the other carriage, and I saw some cops there, and I said, you know, I'm Hare Krishna. I'm getting out of Skimmerhorn. This is in New York,
yeah.
And I said, I have 2 blocks to get to my temple, and I am really scared. Can you walk me? And he said, no, we get out to Skimmerhorn, and we have to stay in the train station. We can't leave. I said, there are 5 of you here. One of you can walk me 2 blocks, please. I'm really, really scared. And he said, why? I said, I didn't want to mention that I was scared of these guys. And, of course, I got out to the stop, and they came out with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, what should I do? Should I get back in the train or go wherever? I didn't know, and I said, no, I'll just go. So again, I saw some cops at a train station, and I mentioned my fear again. And I said, could you just walk me 2 blocks? You know, I don't want to walk by myself.
Mm-hmm.
And he turned and he saw, it was 3 black guys. And he said, I see what you're saying, but I can't leave my post. And I said, well, you're here to protect people. Please, can you just help me? I'm a simple little lady. Please help me. And he said, that's not going to work. You have to walk by yourself. So he said, but one thing I can tell you, when you don't walk on the street, walk in the middle of the street, you know, where there are no people, and just say something really loud, you know, like, you know, we didn't have cell phone then. So I thought, sure, Hare Krishna, what else? So I start walking really fast, and sure enough, they are right behind me, all 3 of them. And I pretend I didn't see them walking slowly. And then suddenly, they start coming close, and I start running. Oh, I was running for my life. And I went to the door. We had 2 doors, and this is in Skimmerhorn Street. The first one, both of them, you have to have a key. But when you open it, it stays open. And then the second one is the same thing. Or somebody usually press a bell, and you can get in. And then they press the bell, and they lock. And I ran with such force, and I was screaming the president's name. I didn't have a key, because usually we don't get back late, so I didn't need a key. And I was screaming. The door suddenly opened. And I thought, well, they can get in. You know, the door is still open. So it slammed shut. I said, I'm trying to pull it, and the door won't open. And I turn again, and the other door opened, just simultaneously. There was nobody there. The door opened, and sure, slammed back.
Whoa.
I knew it was Krishna. I mean, who else would do that?
Yeah.
I just went in a temple room, flat down, paid dandabad, said, thank you, thank you, thank you. The first, that was one of the only time I experienced full fear, you know, because, you know, I don't know what they were going to do to me, and I was thinking. But, I knew it was Krishna. How else would all that happen, you know? So I went there. I didn't want to get up from the floor. I was so grateful. I was so grateful. Another short story. I don't mean to take all the time. We were distributing books at the airport, and there was one, I guess he was a manager at the airport. I don't know what he was doing. And I have a tendency, people try to pick on me. Anyhow, When I was giving out books, he would come and say, oh, don't take the books there. You know, they're the Hare Krishna. They're just giving you a book and they want your money. Basically, they want your money. And I said, but that's not true. We're giving these people. And he said, don't try to talk to me. So then, you know, this was happening for a while. I don't know. We were at the airport for a while. This was going on for weeks. I don't remember how long. And then when we'll take prasadam, of course, we were in the street. And we used to take really nice prasadam, you know, from a temple of devotees who were given nice prasadam. And so when we'll take prasadam, there are five or six of us. He'll come and he'll say, just see. They come here and take all of our money and see their lunch is so nice. They have nuts. They have cheese. They have avocado. I said, sir, would you like some? And he go, no. And he'll walk away. So this was going on, but every day he made it a point to come and watch a steak lunch. And I thought, oh, okay. So one day, I don't know what we had, pizza or something. So I said, would you like some? And he took it. And he said, sure. So I thought he was going to throw it out, you know, he just kind of grab it off. And he took it, and then I walked, and he was eating it as he was going. I thought, whoa. Yeah, of course, I wasn't so advanced to think he's making spiritual advancement. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, oh, he's not going to harass us anymore. So anyhow, he came a few times, and he took lunch, and you know, and he started being kinder. I noticed he wasn't telling the people, don't take the books anymore. He'll walk by and not say anything. And then one day, this one guy was taking a book, but he was giving me, you know, questioning me, asking me lots of questions. Mm-hmm. And I was talking, and he said, take the book. The book is so nice. And I turned and I looked at him. I said, whoa, you know, I didn't say that loud. And so the next thing I know, he became so conscious every time he saw us. He said, take the books. These are good people. So,
Hare
you know,
Krishna.
Yeah, Krishna has come in an amazing way. Of course, you know, I was fearful. I never say anything to him because he was a manager. I didn't want to be kicked out. But Krishna just showed that even, you know, so-called demons, you know, how they come along.
Exactly. Yeah. Everybody, we have hope for everyone.
Yes.
Thank you so much for sharing. Does anybody else have any questions, comments, stories to share? Of what, we have 5 minutes left. Oh, yes.
Yes. Well, this morning, I was focusing on gratitude. So there's two things that you touched on, gratitude and fear. So with the gratitude, after having the privilege of addressing their lordships this morning, and I was circumambulating, I was focused on the aspect of how tiny I am. So like if you expand outward, you know, okay, you have the temple, but then you have Florida, then you have the United States, then you have the, you know, Mother Earth, and then you have the universes. And then the more you keep expanding, you know, the smaller one feels. But I was thinking, wow, I'm just this tiny, 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 tiny speck here, but look what I am involved with, right? And so I was feeling a lot of gratitude. And then when you spoke of fear, I also thought of Draupadi. And I think the past time it's also stated that at one point she asked Krishna what took him so long. And his reply to her was, You didn't come to me first. You didn't look to me first. Yeah. So it was only when you looked to me, you know, looked towards me and asked me, you know, that I assisted, right? That I answered the prayer. And then you spoke of some Vaishnavis. Then, so there's also another great soul in that line, and that's Ladini.
Yes.
So, yeah.
Please
so
go ahead.
Her pastime was, you know, even though she did not exhibit fear, she exhibited boldness, right? So even though there was cause for fear, her understanding of how dear the Vaishnavas are to Krishna, even if they chanted Hare Krishna once, right? She was not going to stand and watch a devotee's life be taken. And so she leaped in front to protect that devotee. So I would say there was no fear there. There was pure realization, you know. And, I do think that fear is based on bodily, you know, any fear that you can say, oh, I have a fear of this or a fear of that, it's all in regards to the body.
So. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. And yes, I thought of including Ladini Prabhu's story, but I feel like it's a story that so many of us know that I wanted to highlight some Vaishnavis that we hadn't heard from. And I really appreciate you sharing that. Because I'm reading A Bond of Love, story of Srila Prabhupada and his daughters. And I'm always finding even more and more stories in there of Vaishnavis who just were in such fearful situations and continued to take shelter of Srila Prabhupada and Krishna. So it's very inspiring. But it's 9 o'clock on the dot, dear devotees, and we've been asked to end right on time. So thank you so much, everyone, for your presence, for your association. And as always, I so appreciate the Seva. Hare Krishna.